Thanks for joining us here at New Song Church, where we're helping people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. If you have any questions at all, or just want to learn more about us as a church, you can go to mynsc.org/happenings. It's the best way to stay connected with us throughout the week. And now, check out this week's sermon.
Are you ready to study the Word of God? Because that's what we're going to do today. We're going to study the Word of God, and we're going to talk about boldness that we need in this generation. And before we get too far into it, I have to give you a backdrop of what's been happening, because we're going to look at Acts chapter 4 today concerning something that happened in Peter and John's life. But before we get there, I kind of have to give you a background of the last couple of chapters. So, of course, at this point in the book of Acts, Jesus has already been crucified. He's already risen from the dead. He's already appeared, to a lot of people after his resurrection. He ascended to the right hand of God. All of that's taken place. The day of Pentecost has occurred already in Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost occurred. And remember, after that moment, after this infilling of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers, there was a great crowd gathered, and Peter went out and he preached one of the greatest sermons in all of the Bible, outside of those of Jesus, you might say. But this is, really the first message, true preaching of the gospel that we see in Acts chapter 2. And it's a powerful moment. And then, of course, you go to Acts chapter 3, and that's where you see, remember, Peter and John are going to the temple at the time of day to pray, and they come across someone who is lame. And it's that famous portion of scripture, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. How many remember that Bible story in Sunday school? And he went walking and running and leaping and praising God. Remember that Sunday school song? Anybody want to come up here and sing it? Because I don't remember it very clearly. I guess when I get in my 50s, I'm not remembering so clearly. I don't know. But I remember singing that song as a kid. He went running and leaping and praising God. And that's already occurred. And then because of that miracle, another crowd gathers, and Peter then preaches again. He tells the crowd, like, this isn't my doing. This was done in the name and through the power of Jesus Christ, the same Jesus that was crucified, that actually you had taken part in. It was in his name that this man received healing. And it bothered the religious leaders and the Sadducees, and because in it, of course, Peter's talking about the resurrection of Christ. Well, the Sadducees had a big issue with that. That's a sermon for another day. And the temple guards came out and they seized Peter and John for preaching about Jesus, teaching about Jesus and the resurrection. But it was in the evening by this time, and so they end up putting Peter and John in prison overnight. And then they bring Peter and John out of prison the next day, and they're like, "Well, you can't do that. Why do you keep doing that?" And what do? They give this testimony of, "Hey, this is who Christ is, and we believe because these things cannot be denied." And they started really sharing again the gospel of grace. Well, the religious leaders and the Sadducees, they really looked at Peter and John, said, "Well, stop doing that." And they're like, "Well, we won't. No, we insist. You stop. You better stop sharing any information about Jesus." And they said, "You can talk to us all you want to, but we're going to do it anyway. Like we're going to talk about Jesus anyway." And because they were, the religious leaders were afraid of causing a riot, because of all of the onlookers, because of all of the crowd that knew that this man had been lame for decades, at least four decades he had been lame. Everybody knew it, and yet this guy was lame no more, like could not be denied. And the religious leaders thought, well, if we hold Peter and John or put them back in prison, it's going to create a riot, so we have no other choice except to let them go. And so they let Peter and John go. And now I just caught you up in very short terms. I caught you up to Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23, which is where we're going to start reading. It says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people," meaning to other believers that they loved and trusted and knew, "and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard this, they raised their voices together in unity in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the power, or you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So let's stop right there. They were saying, Lord, we know that we are living in a moment of time that you told us was going to happen, that people would rise up in opposition to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And they're saying, we realize, Father, that it's happening right now, that we're in the middle of it. New Song, listen to your pastor. The Bible also tells that there are a lot of things that are going to happen in the last days before the return of Christ. Can I tell you something, everybody? We're living in it. We're seeing it all the time. In fact, one of those things that we see in the Word of God and we see in culture is when people, people say that evil is good and good is evil. Well, that was talked about in the Bible, and we're seeing that in a generation, this generation, to which we can go to God and say, God, you said in your word that at this point of time, this was going to be happening. And Father, I see that happening in the world, and I'm asking for something from you. And it's not a selfish request. In fact, everybody, let's look at what they actually request from the Lord. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. He said they acted in accordance with your plan, because obviously it was already determined that Jesus was going to pay the penalty on the cross for the sins of mankind. And he was going to be raised to new life. And they said, hey, that happened according to your plan. Verse 29, now, Lord, consider their threats and in this culture, in this generation, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Father, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. They got exactly what they asked for. They said, Lord, give us boldness in this generation and in this culture. And they prayed that prayer. And the Bible says that the place where they were meeting, where they had gathered to pray this prayer, was shaken. Let me tell you what that means in the Greek. It actually means that the place where they were meeting was shaken. That's what it means. It's like as if the real true word of that Greek word, it means that the place, it was agitated, it was quaking as if an earthquake had hit it. What if we were together in this place this morning and in unity, and we were praying for boldness? Oh, Lord, give us boldness. And all of a sudden, this room started to shake. Every single one of you, I guarantee you, you would be ignited to be bold. I mean, all of a sudden, this boldness would rise up in you. And can I tell you something, everybody? We have the Spirit of the living God inside of us as followers of Christ, who I believe is shaking the bride of Christ awake in this generation to make a difference for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. It's happening right now. I want to be a part of the generation that is shaken by the power of the Spirit of God to make a difference in a generation. And they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. They were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Can I tell you? I did some research. This was, Peter was part of this prayer group. Up until this point, from the beginning of Acts to Acts chapter 4, at this point, did you know that the Bible says Peter was filled with the Spirit three different times? Come on, somebody. It's an ongoing, like, God, I need more of you today. I need more of your Spirit today. I want to operate in the power of your Spirit today. Can I tell you, the Lord will flood you with his presence and with power and with his Spirit. And at the right time, you're going to have every single thing that you need according to the will and the word of God. He said, listen, they said, well, what are we going to say? Another portion of scripture, what are we going to say? Hey, when you get there, I'm telling you, I'll give you the words to say. Don't worry about that. I will pour my Spirit into your life, and you're going to say exactly what I want you to say. I just need you to be there. You just need to get there. And when you're there, oh, you're going to experience me. But you're going to experience me for the benefit of those who will listen, for the benefit of someone else. Because love always lives for the benefit of others. That's good stuff right there, everybody. What I want to show you this morning is we live in a generation, if there's ever a generation that the church needs to be bold, it's this generation. I've never seen it like it is right now. And all of you who are just as old or older than I am, you're saying the same thing. I've never seen it like this before. And here's some points that I want to make to you. Number one, write this down, that boldness, we have to define it. It's living for Christ in spite of the consequences. To be bold. Living for Christ, living out his purpose in my life in spite of potential consequences. Because you have to know. Where did Peter and John, where did they just come from? They just came from prison. They just came from a place of being attacked and ridiculed. They knew that they wanted, that the religious leaders wanted to throw them in prison. They knew what they were up against. They were up against a very real enemy. And their prayer was, Lord, in this generation, we need boldness. I don't want to be thinking about jail. I want to be thinking about you. I don't want to be concerned about prison. I want to be concerned about the gospel. I want to be concerned about those who don't know you as Savior. So I want boldness in spite of the things that I imagine could happen or would happen. Boldness is living for Christ in spite of the consequences. Okay. I want to say it a different way, that boldness is not a personality trait. Well, Pastor Justin, that's just easy for you because of your personality. Boldness in Christ has nothing to do with a personality trait. It has everything to do with the presence and the power of the Spirit of the living God in your life. The most introverted people in all of the world can be Christian powerhouses for the Lord because of the Spirit of God that is within them. Let me say it a different way. I've never read a verse in the Bible where Christian cowardice is celebrated. Have you? I've never read a verse in the Bible that says, you know what, as long as you're a Christian, you can be a coward, it don't matter. Just be a Christian coward, it's all right. God will reward your Christian cowardice. It never says that. What does he reward? Faith. He's a rewarder of those who just live by faith, walk by faith. Can I say it a different way? Of those who walk in boldness, who say, you know what? I'm going to live for the glory of God in spite of the consequences. Boldness, of course, is the result of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about several things. In fact, in this series, the next few weeks, I'm going to teach you about Daniel, the life of Daniel, not prophecies of Daniel, but the life of Daniel over the next few weeks. Again, two Sundays, maybe three. But I was thinking about other people in the Bible that had to be bold. One of the things I thought of is a place that I've actually been. It's the Valley of Elah, and it's where David faced Goliath. And remember, the Israelites are on one side of the valley, and the Philistines are on the other side of the valley, and then Goliath is there, and he's out there challenging the Israelites. Hey, send somebody out here, and you know, if you defeat me, then we'll be your slaves, but if we defeat you, you know, or your guy, then you're going to be our slaves. And that went on for days and days and days. And if you ever go to the Valley of Elah, in fact, everybody, we just found out this week that they're opening up Israel for tours again, and so we've scheduled a trip from New Song to go to Israel for about a year from now, in early October of 2026. Now, if things stay safe and remain safe, we'll go. If things happen, we never know what's going to happen, then we'll make a change just like we did last time. But right now, it's on the docket. So if you want to go, start saving up your money if you haven't already. Okay. And Jennifer and I will lead that trip. Well, we've already been there once at that Valley of Elah, and it's like stadium seating all around is the only way I know how to say it. They're, what they call mountains aren't really mountains. They're just hills. And you could stand there in this valley and see that, wow, that's where the Israelites were. They were camped out right there, and they could see across the valley to the Philistines, and that's where the Philistines were, and they were camped out looking across the valley at the Israelites. And then Goliath would come out from the Philistines, and he would taunt the Israelites. And I was thinking about this, that let me say it a different way, that you'll have to defeat fear in order to accomplish your purpose. Because everybody was hearing the voice of Goliath, and he was taunting them, and they were all afraid. Until this young man came by. What are you guys afraid of? We come in the name of the Lord. And he actually crossed what many call the valley of fear to face Goliath. See, whenever you answer God's call upon your life, you will always have to go through the strategy of the enemy to put fear in your life. You're going to have to go through fear to get to victory. Well, Pastor, wait a second. The Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. So we're not supposed to operate in fear. You're exactly right. But hear your pastor out, though. In order to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish in your life, you still have to move through fear. You have to go through it. You have to say, I will not be conquered by fear. Because, again, mass confession, and I already know the answer to this, and you will too the moment I ask it. How many of you have never, never struggled with fear? Oh, we all have. Haven't we? And in fact, I want to tell you something more. You would say, well, Pastor, you know, maybe a guy like you just don't have fear. Can I tell you guys, I get scared all the time. I just do not let it reign in my life. I cannot tell you the number of times throughout the year in which I have a moment. How many know what I'm talking about? I cannot tell you the number of times where the enemy comes in and whispers thoughts of fear and plants seeds of fear in my life. I cannot tell you the number of times that happens. I just choose to live by faith. And if you think that people who accomplish God's purpose for their life, that they don't have fear, that they're not scared, I'm telling you, you're wrong. You know what we do? Whether you're a Joyce Meyer fan or not, that's not the issue, but she says it this way. She says, just do it afraid. That I'm not going to let fear control me. I'm going to be controlled by faith. So I'm going to be bold based upon the faith that I have in God, I'm not going to be controlled by the fear that the enemy is trying to put in me. So a lot of times I go to people, hey, what's going to happen? I don't know, but we're going to make it. What's going to happen? I don't know, but we're going through. And on the inside, I might be thinking the same thing they're thinking, like, I don't know. but everybody, I've just decided I can either live by faith or not. I can either live in courage, I can live in boldness, or not. And I just choose to be bold. I just choose to have courage. I just choose to have faith. Because this bold living is not a personality trait. It is a choice to depend entirely upon God and take him at his word. He promised it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he promised it. And my God is faithful. Can I get an amen to that, somebody? Say, everybody, you've got to defeat fear. Doesn't mean you won't feel it. You will. But you've got to defeat it. You've got to move through it and say, no, I'm not controlled by fear. I'm controlled by faith. So what did they do? How they were thinking, you know what? We just got out of jail. We'd rather not go back. So they must have been tempted. They must have been tempted to not live so boldly, because they pray and they say, Lord, enable us to continue to speak with boldness, because there's a part of us that just doesn't want to. There's a part of us, we don't want to go back to jail. We don't want to face this conflict. We don't want to have to constantly stand before others with the idea that, wow, we could be severely punished today, because God, would you just help us to be bold in our faith? And the Bible says that the whole place where they were meeting was shaken, and the Holy Spirit filled them. And they and the evidence, watch this, everybody, and the evidence of the infilling of the Spirit on that day was that they spoke the word of God boldly. That was the evidence, that the Holy Spirit came in them. Watch this, write this down. Spirit-empowered followers of Christ. When you're filled by the Holy Spirit and boldness is arising in you, Spirit-empowered followers of Christ should never trade truth for timidity. Well, Pastor, you know, we just have different personalities. Yeah, yes, we do. But we have the same God and Father and Savior, and we are filled with the same Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, that's just not who I am. Well, it's who you should be. So just because it's not who you are doesn't mean it's not who you should be. We are called to be bold. Not to be fearful, not to be timid, but to be bold. Spirit-empowered followers of Christ should never trade truth for friendship. Write that down. Well, Pastor, I might lose some friends. Yeah, you might. Or you might win some friends to Christ. Have you ever thought about that? Well, Pastor, my friends are really not going to, they're not really going to like this. They're not really going to enjoy that conversation. I might lose my friends. Yeah, but you might win some for Jesus. And isn't their eternal life more valuable to you than your temporary friendship, knowing that this earth will not last forever and your life will not last forever? Can I ask you a question? What's more valuable to you, your friendship with them or their eternity, either in heaven or in hell? Now, I'm being pretty bold, aren't I? But I'm also being right, because it's in the Word of God. Spirit-empowered followers of Christ should never trade truth for apathy. Well, I'm just going to let somebody else do it. Can I tell you something about this? You don't serve a let somebody else do it God. Did you know that? You don't serve that type of God. That God looks at you and he says, no, I'm calling you. I'm calling, but God, that's really not my personality. I'll give it to you. But I'm not really qualified for that. I'll empower you. Well, God, I have other places to go. No, you don't. Not that's more important than your purpose. Not that's more important than what I'm calling you to do. And a lot of people never accomplish great things for God simply because they're apathetic. I'm just going to let somebody else do that. New song, don't ever let that be in your heart or in your mind. Never give in to that. I teach my staff this all the time. That we are not above anything. So if we're walking around and see a piece of trash, we're picking it up. Can I tell you something? If I see a piece of trash at Walmart, this guy is picking it up. I'll carry it with me through the store until I find a place to throw it away. Unless it's a Kleenex, and then I don't touch those. A man has to draw a line somewhere, everybody, you know. I don't know about you, but snot does not. Okay, I'm not going to go any further. But to be honest with you guys, I try to be faithful. I'm being serious about this. I try to be faithful no matter where I am. That I'm not above anything. If something needs done, I'll do it. I mean this very literally, everybody. If I see something that's just obviously not meant to be there, I'll bend down and pick it up. If I'm in a store, a clothing store, and there are clothes, you know, that are supposed to be hung up, but they're laying on the floor because somebody else was too lazy to pick them up, and you look at that and say, well, that's not my job. I look at that and say, why isn't it my job? How come I can't be a solid, loving, thoughtful Christian and do something for someone else, even though I'll never get credit for it, even though they'll never. So I just bend down and I pick it up and I hang it up, everybody. I just do it. If carts are spread all over the place, sometimes I'll take 2 or 3 minutes and I'll organize those carts for Walmart. Why? Because I just want to be faithful. I just want to be loving. I want to be considerate. I want to live for the good of someone else. And I want to remind, can I be really honest with you? I want to remind myself that I'm not too good for anything. That I'm not too good for anything. I'm just a follower of Christ who wants to be faithful. And what I found out, everybody, timidity, friendship, apathy. Hear me on this. I would rather disappoint mankind than disappoint God. That's how I feel. I would rather disappoint man than disappoint God. And so I'm going to choose to be bold in my faith. I'm going to have courage in my faith. There's some people in this room that are a little bit different. Some of you are like, oh, Pastor, I needed to hear that. And others in this room are maybe watching like, oh, yeah, Pastor, tell them, bunch of Christian weaklings. If that's you, you ain't going to like this next part. Be careful. Because the problem that you have, Pastor, set them straight. Write this down. Number 3, the pride is always a wrong motivating factor for boldness. So there are some people, think about this, everybody. There are some people out there. Yeah, Pastor, tell them like it is, because we're right. If that is your heart, keep your mouth shut, because you are not helping the gospel of Christ be effective in this generation. The Bible says we have to speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love. Write that down. Boldness should always be driven by love. Always be driven by love, not by pride. But Pastor, I'm right. You might be right with the wrong heart. But Pastor, that's in the Bible. And so is loving God and loving others. But Pastor, that's in the Bible, and so is humility. Come on, somebody. Oh, okay, everybody. So boldness isn't, write this down, boldness isn't about proving a point. It's about pointing people to Jesus. That's what it's about. So if you have it in your mind, well, I can't wait to set people straight. Just know that you're not representing Christ very well. You need to stop now. And you need to take a deep breath. And you need to pray, Lord, would you fill me so full of your Holy Spirit and your presence and your power that I no longer walk in pride, I only walk in love. Because that's how I'm called to walk. So I've taught you this, everybody. Don't live your life to prove a point. Live your life to make a difference. You've heard me say it. Don't live your life to prove a point. Live your life to make a difference. Humility says, I'm living for your benefit. I'm not living to prove a point or to prove that I'm right. I'm just living to point you to Jesus. That's what I'm living for. So everybody, we need to be bold. But we also need to be bold in love. and in grace and in mercy. Everybody see that? So sometimes I tell people this all the time. I have this unique, I'm telling you, it's a grace gift from God. That you wouldn't know the number of times I've met with people in my office that were absolutely 100% wrong, and somebody had to tell them. And they come in for counseling. Pastor, can I meet with you? Absolutely, come on in. And they tell me everything and how they feel, and I know they're wrong, and deep in their hearts, they know they're wrong. And I know it's going to be a tough conversation because I'm going to call them out according to the Word of God. And I've been grace gifted by God to be able to speak so truthfully but so lovingly that when that person leaves my office, Pastor, can I just give you a hug before I go? I love you. And I say, I love you too. Because they knew I was speaking the truth, but they also knew I was speaking the truth in love. I wasn't condemning them. I wasn't judging them. I was encouraging them. I was placing courage in them so that they would live according to the Word of God. Can I tell you, people actually, they will respect you for it. They won't get mad at you, not if you do it in love. I'm going to show you something else here before we close. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. So we've talked about Peter and John, but now we're going to talk about Paul. And Paul says this, and pray for me too, and ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. He said, I want to boldly explain it. And then he goes on to say, I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. I want to think about something. Peter and John were put in prison, and then they were brought before the religious leaders. And the religious leaders were saying, you better stop. You better stop. And they said, we can't stop. But they go back to their friends and like, guys, we need to pray. Because there's a part of me that wants to stop. There's a part of me, I don't want to go to jail. And they pray for boldness, and God fills them with the Holy Spirit. He puts a boldness in them. And here we have Paul. You think Paul would be one of the most bold people in all of the Bible. And he says, you know what? I'm in chains. And could you pray for me that I'd be bold? I think Paul was genuinely tempted to stop being bold. I think he was tempted. I think he could have been in there in chains. Guys, I'm just tired. I've been being bold for a long time, and I'm just tired. And I'm not seeing the success that I wanted to. Maybe that was it. I'm not seeing the fruits of the labor, and I'm just tired. I'm tired of these chains. Could you just pray for me that I would be bold? You know what he's really praying, Justin's paraphrase? He says, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for the Lord as I should. I know I should. Everybody, there's not one person in this room, if you're a Christian, there's not one Christian in this room that has disagreed with anything I've said this morning because it's all in Scripture, right? I don't think anybody in this room has said, well, I think boldness is overrated. I don't think anybody had that thought. I think some of you might say, but Pastor, that's out of my comfort zone. That's going to cost me something. I don't know if I'm ready for that. Maybe those type of thoughts. And Paul says, would you pray that I keep on speaking boldly for God? Because I know I should, and I want to, but there's a part of me that's really struggling with this. Could you pray for me? What he's saying is this, Justin's paraphrase, I just need more of God. to be who he's called me to be. I know what I should be doing. I just need more of God. I just need more of God. Can I tell you something, New Song? As your pastor, someone who loves you very, very much, I just need more of God. I need more of his spirit in me. Because some days I get tired. Some days I want to leave it to somebody else. Some days you do too. Some days I get scared. Some days you do too. And I just want more of God. I want more of his spirit in my life. I'm going to reword that. I require more of his spirit in my life to be who he's called me to be. Do you? And the obvious answer for all of us is yes. I need more of God. No, I require more of God. Could you ever have enough of his presence and his power and his spirit in your life? Can you ever have enough? I don't think so. Lord, I want more of you. Let's stand up together. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to God at all. Maybe you've never trusted in Christ for salvation. The Bible is very clear. In fact, in Acts, I believe it's chapter 4, he says there's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. Nobody gets to God except through Jesus. If you've never given your life to Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity for that this morning. And if that's you, I'm just going to pray real quick, and then we'll pray for all of us together. But if you pray this prayer today, everybody, because there are some, I have this note on my computer, says somebody may be giving Jesus one final chance this weekend. Maybe that's you. I don't know. But if it is, we have a book for you called You Said Yes at Guest Services. You can pick it up or scan the code right there in your sermon notes. So I'm going to start with that prayer. And if you pray that prayer with me, make sure you go to Guest Services and talk to them or talk to me. And I'll be on the lobby. And then for the rest of us, to just in all honesty, is there anybody else in the room besides me who just says, I just need more of God and more of his spirit in my life? Okay, we're going to pray that too. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I surrender my life to you. There's nobody I can trust for the saving of my soul. There's nobody else I can trust for my eternity. Besides you, you are the way, Jesus. You are the only name under heaven by which man can be saved. And your word says that anybody who calls upon you for salvation will be saved. So the only way I know how, I'm calling upon you right now. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. And help me to follow you all of my days. Today, I surrender my life to you. I'm all in. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to the sins that I've been committing. I don't want that any longer. No, I want freedom. I want deliverance. I want you, Jesus. I choose you today. So come into my life and help me follow Christ all of the days of my life. And now we all pray, Father, more of you. More of your presence, more of your power, more of your spirit in our lives. God, I want more of you. Every single thing that I need in my life, it comes from you. And I want it all, Lord, all that you have for me. Every gift that you have for me, every outpouring of your spirit, every moment of every day, I want to walk in your presence and in your spirit. And I'm asking for more of you. Fill me to overflowing, I pray. And do it every day, God, because I need you every day. So I'm gonna live my life by surrendering to your presence and power and spirit, knowing that I don't have the capability on my own. to do anything for your glory if you're not involved, Lord. It's all worthless. So help me to truly love, help me to truly care, and empower me to be who you've called me to be. Help me to live for the glory of your name. And Lord, today, I speak a blessing over my New Song family. Bless them with boldness and courage like they have never known. But I also bless them with a deep, sincere love for you and others, that they would do nothing that doesn't involve love, that doesn't include love. That we would not act in pride, but we would act in love and humility. And I bless them, Lord, with humble hearts, an outpouring of your Spirit, and boldness like never before. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, say amen.
As a church, it's our honor to play a small part in what God is doing through your life, and we would love to continue on that journey with you. To find out what your next steps could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to mynsc.org/contact. Thank you to all of you who consistently give, serve, and pray. You are the ones who God is using to make a difference in our community as we live out our mission of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for watching. We hope you tune in next week.